Good morning. We're ready to convene the meeting of the Finance and Audit Committee. We'll start with the roll call.
Trustee Hill?
Here.
Trustee Scott?
Here. Verification of the meeting notice?
Yes, they were posted.
Can I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
I so move.
A second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes. Okay, Mr. Meeks?
Yes.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Glenn Meeks, Vice President for Administration and Finance.
Good morning. Ted Lannan, Associate Vice President for Administration and Finance.
I'd like to start off by giving the financial report, and one of the things I want to do in sticking with what we began at the last board meeting, I'd like to go over our current cash position.
Good.
And if you don't mind, I'd like to stand up so I can point some things out that I'd like to show.
Sure.
Just a review from last time. This is a short-term cash planning, and what we've done is that we have we projected out every 2 weeks to the end of the fiscal year what our cash position will look like. And if you scroll all the way over to the left, when you look at the cash balance, these are the banks that we currently have, Shore Bank, et cetera, and these are the amounts of money that we currently have in these banks. And so we're looking at total cash in banks, 12.6. Right below that, there are some obligations that we have against those, against that cash balance, vendor disbursements that we have, then we have some student disbursements that are out there as well, net cash. In addition to that, we have other restrictions on that cash that we have in the bank as well in this next category. These restrictions right here, that 1.7 represents an amount that we're currently keeping in the bank. That's a contract that we have some litigation on, and we're waiting for some information before we release that from that company. Other things that we have is a tax settlement, Thompson's, that's there. A15, A16, those are CDB, Capital Development Board. These are grants that we've received, and these are the amounts of money that we have there for those particular grants. Later on in the presentation, when we look at, and I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, some of the resolutions on, one of the resolutions has to do with the Convocation Center. This amount, 1.9, this is money that's been set aside to spend that, so we're going to ask the board if it's okay to enter into an agreement or a contract in order to spend that. So net cash that we have with the restrictions, 7.3. If you go down below, we have projected receivables. This is money that we expect still to receive or still to come in. These first set of lines here, the GRF payroll, that's General Revenue Fund for payroll. You know, the state gives us general revenue funds. We spend general revenue fund dollars first. I do want to say that all of our general revenue funds have been expended, so now the payrolls are all on the income fund. So we've expended all of the money in the general revenue fund. And as you can see here, we anticipate by the 15th of May, we're anticipating to be reimbursed from the state $2 million.
Do you really expect to receive that, Mr. Meeks?
It's possible. It's possible, and the reason I'm going to say that is because if we look to the go out to the right, you see these little asterisks here. These asterisks were projections that we were expecting to receive from the state. One we had expected to receive May 31st, the end of May, and that was that $1,000 for vendor disbursements, $1 million. Well, we got that early. We got that in April.
Okay.
Here's another one that we received. We were expecting this reimbursement the end of June, and this was for payroll disbursement, and we received this also in April.
Okay.
And so that's why it's kind of difficult to say.
So we're somewhat cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic. Okay. Precisely. So if you scroll down, projected expenditures that we're showing, yeah, so those are the amount of monies that we expect to receive. These are projected expenditures. These are the payrolls that are still remaining that we expect to, that we respect that will hit against the cash amount that we have. And as I mentioned to you before, right now we're operating or we're spending our, there's no more general revenue fund, so we won't expect to be reimbursed for some of these payrolls because these payrolls now are being paid out of the income fund. But they still go against our cash, so it's still a depletion of cash. So total cash, if you look at the end of this month, we're expecting approximately 6.5 million positive cash in the bank. Going out to the end of June, we're projecting roughly about $4 million cash position by the end of June. And again, if you look back up, both in our expected receivables, cash to receive from the state, we've got $2 million, there's another $2 million. If you just add those up, we're still looking at approximately those three. $5 million. We're still expecting $5 million from the state in order to end up with a $3 plus million balance at the end of June. Simply means if we don't get it, we're in a deficit. Our cash position is threatened. So we're cautiously optimistic about receiving those reimbursements from the state, but we still need to, you know, whatever pressures or whatever it is that we're doing, we need to continue doing that with the state in order to receive that. Looking long-term, we talked about this last time. These green items here just happen to be items. These are cash expenditures that we have for FY10 that we expect to be receiving in FY11 from the state. And again, they could fool us and pay us early. But traditionally, we're being cautious, and so we're projecting those out into the next fiscal year. The only thing I want to point out here in this, just like I did before, because our cash position is a little better than it was the last time I reported, You'll see we'll start running into trouble now. It was in October, but now it's in November. That's only because of the projected cash increase that we received, those two reimbursements that we received from the state made us a little healthier, and so therefore it looks like we'll be running into trouble in the month of November. Projections hold out. And again, so we have already began to address this issue and some of the things that we can do in order to alleviate any adverse cash situation that we may find ourselves in. Okay? Are there any questions concerning this? And if you look at all the way to the end of the year, if we can make it to the end of the year and everything is okay, the end of June, $6.7 million is what we're projecting in our cash position. So it would be really nice for us to go into the next fiscal year with a $6.7 million cash position. But again, that's based on these projections and receiving those reimbursements from the state.
Okay. Now this figure you talked about at the end of next fiscal year, if we're in the best cash position possible, is this after we've depleted anything, our budget, like we paid salaries, we've done the repairs we need to do, we'll find ourselves at, so this is
our payroll that we're projecting.
Okay.
After we paid payrolls, that's after we paid our vendors, that's after we've met all of our financial obligations.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Okay. There are no more questions? All right. Mr. Lannan will talk about the financial statements.
Yes. Good morning, trustees and everyone else. I'll start with the balance sheet, and this was in the materials that were distributed to you in advance of the meeting. Looking at cash again at this perspective, this now is as of March 31st, so it's before these positive inflows that Mr. Meeks just mentioned. But compared to looking at line one, cash and cash equivalents, the cash is down $4 million approximately from a year ago. And that is due in part to the receivables from the state. And also, I had mentioned at the previous meeting, the $6 million payment that we paid in June of last fiscal year. If we look at the state and other receivables, it's $4.5 million difference, almost $13 million receivable at March 31 this year compared to $8.3 a year ago. Again, the state receivables are the predominant factor. Then if we look at accounts receivable, actually there's some positive direction here. We're down to 12.6 versus 15.7 a year ago. We have been looking at this and working on reducing receivables. So it looks like our efforts are helping along that line. So at the end, just to touch on the major aspects here, so the total assets are approximately $188 million at the end of March 31 this year compared to $192 approximately the year ago. Now, if we look down in the liabilities section, I would just like to highlight two items. The accounts payable and accrued wages, we have a decrease there of approximately $3.4 million. That's due to us having paid our bills perhaps a little more promptly. We've paid out more quickly compared to a year ago. Then the other one I would point to is the performance bonds notes payable item that we mentioned in the past. Again, that was an item that was there last year. There was litigation that was paid. That was the principal portion of the $6 million payment that was paid in June of last year. So let me move on then to the income statement. And the if we look at the first item there, the major item is the student tuition and fees. There's very strong tuition at March 31 this year compared to a year ago, a change of almost $9 million. Now, we did have the tuition increases that went into effect for the beginning of this fiscal year. Also, the pharmacy program made a very strong showing in this period. So I would say that the increases and primarily things like the pharmacy program and also an impact of additional enrollment that has driven up the tuition in a positive way. Then the next item would be the grants and contracts. And that is down approximately $1.6 million. We talked at the previous meeting about this Chicagoland Regional College Program, and that seems to be the driver of this again at this point. Then I would just go down to the major expense fluctuations. If you look at operations and maintenance of plant, we're actually down almost $3 million in that line item. And that, the reason for that is primarily in the year ago, there was a lot of work going on the Douglas Hall. So that's really the predominant driver of that difference. We did not have that kind of activity this year. In public service, on the next line here, a decrease of approximately $1.5 million, and this is due to the Head Start, IPCFD, and the Project FAME Upward Bound. Lastly, the scholarships and fellowship. Here we see an increase of almost $4 million, $3.9 million. And this is primarily due to the Pell Grants. We experienced a significant increase in the Pell Grant awards to students in this current fiscal year compared to the year ago. So the bottom line here is $29.6 million, rather approximately, compared to $20.6 million at the year-ago period. Now, again, as I mentioned in the previous meeting, this is early in the period. There's a lot to go through with the audit and the remainder of the fiscal year. So these numbers will change for the year end. Are there any questions?
Okay. So are we ready to move into the action item?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
The first action item that I'd like to submit is the 2011 tuition waiver budget. The tuition waiver budget that we have that you have in front of you, the resolution, is approximately we're asking for $1.7 million. That's up from last year from roughly about $1.6 million from last year. What we did is that we took the various categories, civil service, mandatory, gender equity, and also our 3% discretionary, and because of the 8% tuition increase that we're expecting, or that has been passed and approved for the fall term, we increased these figures basically by 8% in order to come with that. So the distribution will remain the same. It'll just reflect an 8% increase over last year, what we submitted last year, for the same categories.
And this, what's the impact of enrollment on this?
The impact on enrollment is, you know, we're expecting a slight increase in enrollment for the fall, and one of the things is that with the 8% tuition increase that we were asking for and that was approved, we projected out that the net effect of that is roughly about, well, the net effect will be roughly somewhere around $300,000 to the good in terms of the enrollment numbers that we projected on our tuition increase. We're projecting, with the 8% tuition increase, we projected about a $2 million increase in tuition revenue. And with the 1.7 that we're asking for here, the net effect is about $300,000. Positive.
Okay, so basically it's the same number of people, same percentage of people qualify for?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah, I mean in terms of those numbers, right, the same number of people primarily.
I move that we approve the tuition waiver budget as presented.
Second.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Now we're moving to the contracts.
That's all for us right now.
Good morning, trustees.
Good morning.
For the record, my name is Nate Tindall, Director of Purchasing, and I will be presenting four resolutions. The first one is the student health resolution that you have before you. And joining me,
I'm Gail Cannon, the coordinator of the Student Health Insurance Program.
I'm sorry, hear your last name again?
Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Cannon.
I'm Dr. Lisa Young, Director of the Wellness and Health Center.
Okay, thank you.
As you look at the resolution, this is the most comprehensive health plan that we've developed for Chicago State. And we have to, I think that tongue in cheek, I think we brought home the bacon according to our direction, our mission, that it benefits the students. And bottom line is that students will be paying $5 more, total of $925 from, for the fiscal beginning in August. So there are 7 enhancements, and those are mentioned in the resolution that the students will be benefiting. There is also a 2-tier approach that we have developed in this. The whole program is developing a holistic approach, interjecting the use of the Wellness Center as the focal point in the student health program. Any questions?
I don't have any questions. Any questions?
And have students been involved in reviewing the, or in the, providing input into what the needs are, or?
Yes, to answer your question, the students have reviewed the proposals, recommendations, and we have gotten input from the students. Address that.
I would move that we approve the contract as presented for the student health coverage, health insurance coverage.
I'd second.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
The next one is the natural gas. Recommending that we contract with a natural gas provider. From the physical plant, Ed Market will address any issues that questions that you may have regarding natural gas.
How you doing? The request is to contract with Constellation New Energy to purchase the commodity natural gas throughout the year.
And what, if anything, are we doing to control our costs and to, is this a fixed price?
No, it's not. This contract allows the university to, gives us several options to purchase the commodity. Without the contract, we would return to system sales customer, and we would be at the mercy of the spot market, and that pretty much how Peoples Gas determines the monthly cost each month. With this contract, we are able to insulate our risk against price spikes. That's what this contract does. We're able to purchase gas on the futures market at known volumes and then known cost, where if we return to system sales, I can't tell you what the cost in 3 months will be. And it helps us budget the cost for the gas throughout the year and insulate against price swings.
And is this a have we been buying from Constellation New Energy?
Yes, we have. When we put the RFP out, 14 companies downloaded the RFP, but only 3 suppliers responded and attended the pre-bid meeting. And of the 3, we selected Constellation because of the options that are available with them. And my responsibility is to order the gas, because CSU is responsible for ordering all volumes of gas to be delivered and at what cost we're going to pay. All the supplier does is make sure they get it here. You're responsible for the rest.
Not an easy job these days. Okay. I move that we approve the contract for the Constellation New Energy.
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next resolution is for the audio sound equipment to be installed at the Jones Convocation Center.
Can we just have just a minute of background on the on the resolution?
Basically, the resolution is put forth because we've got approximately $1.9 million Capital Development Board money, CDB money, for this purpose, for the equipment of the Convocation Center. And basically, we have to expend that on the equipment and the upkeep. One of the things that we're doing looking forward is trying to maximize the utilization of the Convocation Center. And we know that the sound system currently limits us from bringing in various venues in order to maximize the amount of revenue that we can generate from the Convocation Center. We have $1.9 million grant money still from the CDB that we have to spend, and we have to spend that by this fiscal year. We've asked for an extension, and we're just waiting on a response from that. But basically, that's the background. It's just to enhance the attractiveness of the Convocation Center as it relates to the sound system, which is sorely lacking.
If we have 1.9 that's available to us in the form of this grant, the resolution reads that we have to also put in a certain percentage from the university. Is that what's required as a condition of the grant? Because the resolution reads that the audio equipment will exceed $2.5 million the way it's drafted. Is that right?
That's what I have.
Is that?
Yeah, it says $2.5
million. Yeah.
So do we expect to expend?
That's not a typo, is it? Yeah, we don't really have the we don't expect to spend any of the university's money for this purpose.
Uh-huh.
We feel as though the 1.9 that's allotted to us for the sound system uh-huh. is suffice. It is possible that the resolution was put forth at that amount to possibly to compensate.
Was there any reason that we have to leave it like this?
No, there is not.
Okay, so I think we should. You know, with that correction to the resolution.
If you like, we can make the amendment to the resolution and bring it back for the full board meeting.
Right.
That would be a good thing.
Okay.
Because the way that this is written, this is
we're going to make
2.5, and
it's not going to be 2.5 million, okay. Not for the sound system.
Because we're also putting in other things at the Convocation Center.
That is correct. I mean, the 1.9 is actually geared toward other things other than just the sound system. We don't anticipate the sound system. The cost is $2.5 million.
Not even close.
It'll be over 200.
That is an error, and staff will take a look at that and make the appropriate correction.
I think it would also be helpful to reference in here, and one of the whereas is the whereas that the Capital Development Board is holding funds specifically for this purpose.
We will do that as well.
Okay. We want to motion now?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move that with the appropriate corrections. We will recommend the adoption of this resolution by the full board.
I'm seconding that.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes. Bookstore.
This is the final resolution regarding Folly Bookstore. We want to contract with them. We have extended their contract, and we want to finalize the process that had started before some of the board trustees members became on the board. Contract was extended for 2 years, and we went out for a formal bid in 2009. So we need to finalize the contract with Folly Bookstore.
Were there other firms that bid on this?
No, there was one company that was interested, the Nebraska Bookstore. They came to the pre-bid. Conference, but they did not submit a bid. So we only had Follett Bookstore.
Is that the fact that we only had one other potentially interested bidder? who did not, who elected not to go forward. Is there something about contracting with Chicago State or the process that makes makes it less a less attractive contract?
No, I think at the time when we had the pre-bid conference, there was a concern about where the bookstore would be situated. We had moved the bookstore in various locations, and for a company that to submit a proposal, they wanted to know the square footage that the university would be giving them, would be leasing to them, so that they could develop a bookstore. So that was not clear at the time when the proposal were submitted. We just told them that they were, I think, at the Douglas Hall at the time, and subsequently has moved now to the BH building, I think. So that was some uncertainty, and the company had expressed their concern. Nebraska had expressed their concern about a facility so they could provide us the service.
You know, generally, you know, as a procurer of services, we want to be an attractive venue because that puts us in a better position to get a better pricing.
That's correct.
If we have more people that participate in a competitive process. But if we're not, you know, if we're not making, if we're not attractive, then we're not paying, you know, we're paying more because we're not setting a market. So it would seem that, you know, that we ought to do whatever we can to make ourselves more attractive as a marketplace.
I think that the President Watson has addressed that concern to Folly Bookstore, what the university is willing to do to it. Make it attractive, but at the time that was not addressed.
Okay. Well, how can we? So, is someone giving some consideration to how we can improve Chicago State as a procurer of outside services generally? Because what you know, the couple things we've heard this morning is that we have very few people who are interested in doing business with us. So I think that we need to look at that and look at and at least understand, you know, from my limited knowledge of business, that it makes we're not an attractive procurer of services. So if we go out to bid for services and there's some uncertainty on the space that's going to be available to the vendor, then and we lose a potential competitor in that process, then we haven't done the university any favors. So what I'm saying is, as part of our bid process, I mean, we're following state law in procuring bids, but are we doing, at the same time, doing what's fiscally responsible for in attracting as many competitors to that process as we can?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my concern.
Yeah. And it's very well taken, Trustee, and I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. One of the things, because we are a state institution and because a lot of vendors know the history of being reimbursed or being paid from the state, we're trying to address that by being more timely with vendor reimbursements and vendor payments. That's one of the ways we can address this.
Mm-hmm.
During the uncertainty that happened concerning this RFP that had gone out, I would say that it was really atypical because of the change in leadership at the time and that there were a lot of things that were still up in the air. Now that we have leadership in place and we can begin to address our image and move forward in addressing that and trying to display a more positive image to our vendors as well as the university community as a whole. And that's one of the things that we're doing with our marketing effort as well as on the business side of addressing our fiscal responsibilities as well. So we are looking at that and we are addressing that as we speak.
But I think that if we intend to put out other RFPs you know, for other services going forward, that part of what we consider is getting more people to the table.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, so we should be looking to see you know, at least three people compete for what we have to offer. Because it ends up being a sole source contract. If only two people show up and then one person submits a bid, we don't have a choice. Right?
Well, other than simply not to accept anybody until
yes,
we start the
process.
Yes,
just don't accept it.
Right.
And is that something that we considered? Was that an option for us?
It was an option, but I didn't think it was a very good one at the time. And the reason for it is because of the payments that we've been making to Thompson during this fiscal year. We've been making payments to them, and we don't have a contract.
Right. That'd be Follett.
Follett, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand that. But that was just.
Sorry.
It's really, I'm talking beyond the Follett's resolution. I'm talking
yes.
more generally about our the university as a procurer of services.
Yes.
With that, I would move that we accept the resolution.
Can I just ask one more question? How does the provisions of this contract differ from what we were have been the previous contract or what we've been de facto paying them over the?
Well, one of the things I'll address and. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't remember all of the details of the prior contract, but I don't believe that they put up any money to help to rehab the facility that they'll be housed in. I don't believe that there was any additional monies that they were giving us to.
And is the percentage revenue share consistent?
That
the share that the percentage that we that the university
exactly.
gets?
Yeah, that's the same percentage.
Okay.
I think that the proposal was a same as there was in the previous, and that's given the fact that the university had at the time did not provide the space, and so the Follett had at what they configured based on their history with the university made the a similar offer that was a previous contract to so continue as is. The revenue, I have no idea what the revenue flow was in and out. I'm pretty sure that staff will be able to provide that the dollar amount of how much we generated with the concession.
Yeah, and we can certainly have that number for you again, you know, this afternoon at the board meeting. I don't recall what that percentage was before compared to this in terms of the RFP going forward. That was something that was already in place. But I do know this, though, that there is another provision in this contract with Follett that didn't exist in the previous one, and that's because of the change in technology. They're offering up online book service now that wasn't there before for our students.
I just think it's important, you know, in addition to the whole issues of how we manage and attract people, that we do something to assure ourselves that this contract is you know, reasonably industry typical and not something unusual just because we weren't able to attract alternative bidders. Mm-hmm. So having said that, I will move that we approve the contract as presented.
Second. Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the PACE agreement. PACE has put in place a federal program where they're making various buses available to municipalities and state organizations. And Chicago State University has made application for 7 buses pursuant to this program. As a condition of receiving these buses, PACE has mandated that we adopt their safety policy, their alcohol policy, and their alcohol testing policy. And so those are the resolutions before you. This will, if the university were to receive these buses, it would result in a significant cost saving to the university. I believe the rental prices for these buses per unit is $100 per month. The athletic department has made application for, I believe, 4 buses. and then three buses will be used to transportate, for the transportation of students.
And where does this, to and from the campus, or?
To and from the campus, intercollegiate athletic competitions. There are certain limitations placed on the use of the buses, but basically it's for the transportation of students and student athletes.
And the drivers are?
The drivers have.
University employees, or they're?
The drivers will be university employees. They PACE mandates that they go through training and certification. And we've already, the university has already started that process. It's being done by the, this process is being administered by the campus police.
I have one, are there two resolutions, or is there one resolution?
There are two components to the resolution. The first part of it is the alcohol policy and the alcohol testing policy. And then the second component is the safety policy. And safety procedures.
I move that we approve the safety procedure policy and the alcohol use policy for the PACE vehicle program.
I second.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Now we're moving to the Institute for Positive Child Development.
Good morning, Trustee Hill, Trustee Scott, President Watson, and Mr. Cage. This is a resolution to accept $262,500 from the City of Chicago as a pass-through to the city, to the Chicago State, to the Institute for Positive Child Development. Just a brief background to this, the city gets millions of dollars every year to provide daycare and Head Start services throughout the city. As a condition of getting the grant from the federal government, the city is required to pass certain, the daycare centers are required to pass certain management and child care competencies. The city therefore hires the Positive Child Institute to provide these training and competencies for all of the Head Start delegate agencies, city Head Start delegate agencies in the city. The university is getting about $20,000 to manage the grant. So it's $262,000 coming to $500 coming to this university, and $242,500 going to the Institute of Positive Child Development, and $20,000 of that is management to the university for managing the grant.
So what you're saying is the $20,000 for management, and the remainder goes to finance the training.
Correct.
And who? But we manage the training too, right?
No, the city identified as sole source the Institute for Positive Child Development, one of the agencies that specialize in providing Head Start and daycare services training in the city of Chicago.
Why didn't they contract directly with them?
I don't know. It's been like they've been providing this service, this contract with the Chicago State for the past 6 years, as you know. They've always thought that since this university has one of their largest Head Start and daycare services in the city of Chicago, that it best that they funnel this grant through the city of Chicago because of our Head Start and daycare services that we provide. We also are delegate agencies for other services, daycare services in the city. So that's the reason that why they have it through the city of Chicago, through the.
So it's our involvement with the services goes beyond just the you know, bureaucratic management of the...
Correct. Well, we had actually daycare services that we provide to the community. So it's beyond just the training. Yes.
Okay. And so we use our employees to take care of the fiscal end of the grant?
Yes, sir.
So the Institute for Positive Child Development submits financial paperwork to us to justify the expenditures?
Correct, and program report.
Okay, that's it. All right. And someone reads that?
Well, they send it directly to the city. It's a pass-through, and we get copies of this.
Okay, if something happens, then who's on the hook?
Well, we would be responsible, of course, but we review and making sure it's fine.
Okay, so I'm just saying, I know it's passed through, but we have some fiscal responsibility.
Correct.
So somebody is reading that, right?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Just making sure.
I move that we approve receiving the grant from Department of Children and Family Services and approve the subcontract to the Institute for Positive Child Development.
Second.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Scott, if I may, just make a brief comment on Mr. Lang's report on the financial statement on the grant. He mentioned that the grants decrease. In actual fact, the grants increase almost 50% greater than, we're about $46 million this year. They increased about 50% more than last year. The reason why his numbers change for two reasons. First, he's talking about the university fiscal year, which begins in July 1st to June 30th, okay? And it's based on expenditures, only on expenditures for those particular dates. Second, the grants go beyond the city, the university fiscal year. So we may get a grant in July, for example, of when the university's fiscal ended. And ends, and then the grants go beyond the fiscal year. So we're talking about two different fiscal year, and the number that you're talking about is only expenditures posted for a particular time in manner. That's why the numbers are different. But the grants have increased almost 50% greater than last year.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning to the dears. I'm Carol Carson Warner, the Executive Director of the Textbooks and Learning Materials Program, Ghana. And I respectfully request that the Board of Trustees approve the resolution set before you today. TLMP will contract with Buck Press to reprint 12 titles that include the teacher's manuals. Buck Press was chosen to do the reprint as the sole proprietor or sole sourced proprietor, mainly because they had done the books previously, the original books, and they have camera-ready copies of those books ready to print. And as well as they've been approved in the cooperative agreement by USA to do the reprint of these books. The amount for the reprint is estimated at $5,302,531. We have increased the number of educational districts that we're serving from 14 districts to a national scale of 127 districts in Ghana. Madam Trustee, I thank you and other members of the board for your consideration in this matter. If there are any questions, I will gladly answer them.
Well, this is not the first time that we've been asked to consider issues related to textbooks in Ghana. And it has not always been a very pleasant experience in the past. So I guess I'd just like to understand what we've done that's different to ensure that these funds are being appropriately spent, that we're abiding by all of the federal contracting requirements and any other issues that have surfaced in the past in this arena.
At a most basic level, we've had a leadership change in terms of the management of the program, and it starts there. From that, we then took a look at the various policies, procedures, and made some changes there. And I'd like for the provost, can you speak to?
Something else that we've done is previously the grant operated as a single entity. Now it is housed under the umbrella of the College of Education and it is being supervised as such. Secondly, having an accountant that is specifically working with Dr. Carol Carson Warner, who's providing the oversight, I think will really help tremendously in that he understands the protocols here at the universities, not only at the state level, university level, but also at the federal level. And as such, I know that soon they will be going back to Ghana, and it will require my signature. And I've noticed that when the paperwork comes in, there's like a checklist. And so I'm really pleased to see that there's a scrutiny that was not once there. So I think that as we move forward, we should see that there will be very few questions, if any, regarding this grant.
And what is the cost per book compared to what we've paid them in the past?
It's about the same. Yeah.
Who is the accountant?
This is Mr. Gerald Knox.
Hi, my name is Gerald Knox. I'm a licensed CPA for about the last 12 years.
Is this one of the university? I mean, this grant process or management process is a full-time thing for you, or you are an outside accountant?
No, I am an employee of Chicago State University.
Okay, and solely with regard to this grant, are you part of our larger accounting staff?
No, I guess I'm solely part of the grant.
Okay.
But I'm part of the big picture as well.
Okay, but your full-time job now will be helping to manage the finances of this grant. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So in those reports that you prepare, or financial reports that you prepare regarding the grant will be given to the provost. Is that what you're saying? Is that what's going on? In addition to the...
There's several levels of oversight with respect to reporting of the financials. And one is in-house, and that one will be given to me and therefore passed through to the Dean of the College of Education, therefore the provost. And then the grant is still it's a grant, and it's a federal grant. And the sponsored programs office also has a grant accountant that we reconcile with generally on a six-week basis. And we're trying to do that monthly because we're at the going into the last 4 months of this fiscal year. And 70% of the funds are allocated for the spending or the purchase of the books, the printing of the books. And we're also, as I explained to you the other day, we have another process, the assessment of the actual program that we're moving forward with.
Okay.
And so, but we are producing the financial report at two different levels within the university.
And will these books be available for the next school year?
That's the definite intent, so that the Ghanaian children will have the books in September. Yes.
And then how does you mentioned the assessment of the program overall and its impact.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get some insight into the impact that we're having there?
It's
as a board.
In the classroom. And that's being conducted by Dr. Gahunga through the College of Education. He's the head researcher.
And when will that assessment be made?
This summer.
This summer, okay. So when we come back in the fall, we could actually ask you to come and report on?
We could start reporting on some of the findings in the fall.
I know, I for one would like to.
But we're primarily doing the data collection this summer, yes.
Great.
Let me ask a question. Are we talking about the assessment of the students?
No, we're talking.
Are we talking about an evaluation of the effectiveness of the books?
It's actually the use of the books.
Okay.
On Dr. Watson.
Okay.
We will be going into the classrooms. We'll be interviewing, we'll be doing observations in the classrooms, interviewing teachers and parents about how the books are used. Are the, you know, are the books being used? All right.
So it's more of an evaluation. And not to split hairs, but usually assessment I connote with student progress and directly tied to what the faculty member does with the student in the course. So this is more of an evaluation.
Okay.
Okay.
I move that we approve the, I don't think we're approving the grant because we've already done that, but the contract for public, for printing of the books for Ghana.
Okay. I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We look forward to your follow-up report.
Good morning again. I'm Ted Lannan, the Associate Vice President for Finance and Administration, and I'm going to give the audit update. The final audits were released on March 16th, 2010 for fiscal year FY09. We had, as was mentioned in the past, there were 13 major findings compared to 20 for the prior year, with 7 repeat findings. Also, recently, the Office of the Auditor General, after a bid process, has selected a new audit firm to audit Chicago State for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2010. Borchnack Pelletier and Company of Kankakee, Illinois, is the firm that was selected. We've been in contact with them already, and it so happens that one of the partners in this firm, Mr. Paul Pelletier, previously was engaged in auditing Chicago State with a different firm at the time. So he has some familiarity with us. We have an entrance conference scheduled for May 27th, but the new auditors have advised us that they are anxious to get started even before that, so they will be coming on site on May 21st to commence the audit work so that they can complete it all according to the schedule required by the Auditor General. So we are currently working on, from what we know in the past and also from specific requests that we've already been given, we are getting ready for this right now. excuse me. One of the things that we were required to file that's an annual required filing is a report under the Fiscal Control and Internal Auditing Act, or FISA, which really is a self-evaluation by management of the university, whereby we do this, we look at our internal controls, and we indicate our intention or what we expect in terms of any potential audit findings. As a result of that, we have determined that we should report and did in fact report that there are 3 findings from the past that we, based on what has occurred to date, we would not be able to ensure that we could avoid these for the upcoming audit. The one is One is the subsidies between accounting entities, which was a very new one that really came to light at the very end of the audit process for fiscal year '09. Compliance with the Illinois Human Rights Act, and I understand that we're very close to having a solution for that, which would be a web-based training system. But we can't claim that it was in effect for a substantial period of the current year. And the third one is the timesheet compliance with the State Officials and Employees Ethics Act. And we have an ongoing bar to that in that the faculty union has decided that they do not wish to comply with this particular requirement. That's not just here, this is across all the state universities. So currently we are gearing up to get ready for the auditors. We did accept the earlier start date because we want to send the signal that we are anxious to get off on the right foot and we're anxious to get started very seriously. To the extent that there are things that may have occurred that that could be findings, we are working to demonstrate review of such things to highlight such things to the auditors when they come on site to demonstrate that we're aware and we take these matters very seriously and to demonstrate progress that we have made thus far. The highlights of the recent achievements or progress are that the new fraud policy implemented, the cash receipts policy implemented, and we're working on that with the various departments across the university so that financial affairs will give approval to the specific procedures that each department that must handle cash is required to follow.